evening. Welcome to Westbridge Community Church. I'm glad you're here. Woo! I am excited, fresh off of my vacation where I was down in Charleston, South Carolina. But you know, everything is good down there, wonderful down there, and had a great time. Miss Kelly, she is on her way back actually tomorrow morning. And we look forward to see her, but we have our worship team, she has them all primed and ready to go for tonight. We are going to continue studying the book of Revelation, where we are looking at this amazing vision, this supernatural enlightenment and unveiling that God gave to the Apostle John that will usher in all of the end of what will happen with this epic story that God created when he decided to create a heavens and an earth that we know as our home. So that's going to be very exciting. If you're here for the first time at Westbridge, then I encourage you to just kind of let this night be a night where you can take it all in and disconnect from the world and all the cares. I know we all have things that have to be done at home and things that have to get done at work, but for this next hour, give it to God. Just say, you know what, Lord, I'm yours. Show me what you want to show me out of your Bible. Show me what you want to show me that I don't know about you. Show me what it is, Lord, that I don't even know about myself that you want to show me. And I pray that tonight, this next hour, will be a night where I'm advanced. You know, each of us are created, you know, in parts. We have a physical body. We have our emotional body, our intellectual body. But we also have a spiritual component. And that's the part, really, that church tries to make sure that you get in tune with. The spiritual, your soul. And this is what we want to do tonight as we continue to uncover more and more about God. So if you would just kind of take in what God does in your heart tonight, that's what we would expect to do. We're going to begin tonight by worshiping, where we will talk to God through song. And if you're comfortable doing that with us, the words are going to come up on the side screen. Join in. If you're not comfortable doing that, you can sit back and just take it all in and just continue to be ready for what God has for you tonight. I'm going to hand it off to Mr. Darrell now and be back shortly. Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5 tonight of Revelation, and you'll see that it's starting to gear up more. We're going to get into a lot more theology. Theology is really the study of God and the study of all that God does. We're going to get more and more involved in that in the book of Revelation, but as always, theology has its purpose where it is to connect with our lives. It's not just information for us to know about, but it's information for us to know about, but then turn into action in our life. Taking knowledge and turning it into action plan is called wisdom, and that's what we're going to be doing as we continue to study the book of Revelation. Tonight we're going to see, really, someone who is the one and only person capable, able, certainly the only one who can do something. So I thought the best way to kind of put you in that world, to get you in that thought process, would be to have a little game show. I love the game show. As always, I have to have my right-hand man, Elder Robert, come down, and he is going to help you through decide who puts their hand up first on some of these questions. And as always, we have our treats for you. So Ms. Shanda will bring up the first question, and it is this. Felix Baumgartner was the only human able to do this for 24.2 miles. What in the world? Did you see any hands, Elder Robert? Corey, what was Felix Baumgartner able to do for 24.2 miles? Walk? That's a good try. It's not that, but that's really good. Who was next, Mr. Robert? Is it Jack back there? Jack, what did Felix Baumgartner do? Good try on the swim. It's not swim. It's a little higher into the stratosphere than that. 24.2 miles. Anyone want to take a guess at what he was able to do? Let me show us, Miss. He skydived. There he is, stepping out of his craft, of all people, made by, not by NASA, by Red Bull. So you can do anything if you drink that stuff, I guess. He free-falled and skydove 24.2 miles, and we're in good shape. We should have three more of these coming, buddy. I made them tough tonight. Woo! So pretty cool, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. You go on YouTube and watch that. It's truly unbelievable. I'm trying to figure out how he actually got up that high with that spaceship of some sort. So, okay, you're 0 for 1. That's okay. Okay, but he's the only one who was able to do that. So pretty cool, right? That's the kind of where we're headed. Let's go to this next one. Let's go back to history. Let's go back to grade school. Miss Shanda, give me the next one. He went in search of the Fountain of Youth because he was told he was the only man for the job. He is the only man for the job. Who was in the first up, Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray, who would that be?
Well, I didn't find it,
but Ponce de Leon. Ponce de Leon? Let's see what the answer is. Oh! I actually got that one wrong. I thought it was DeSoto. I said, well, I don't know what he did, but he did something. Been a long time since grade school. Okay, we're doing pretty good. So somebody's got a chocolate bar. Somebody's doing okay. We're doing good.
One and one.
He was the one and only guy who could do that, right? Here we go for another one and only, okay? Oh, this one's interesting. Let's go a little more, bring it up to modern times. Miss Shanda, in 1997, he was rehired as the CEO of Apple. He was the only one who could turn that company around. By the way, he had been fired from there 12 years earlier, and the company went, and then he came back. Who was first?
I'm going to see if Jack can redeem himself.
Jack, who is it? Let's see. Oh, yeah, Steve Jobs. Yeah, I don't know much about Steve Jobs. Katie saw his movie. She tells me he would not be best friends with me, but I don't know. I don't know him very well. I'm best friends with everybody, but she says, no, not this kid. So I have to find out more about him. We got one more chance, all right?
Just one?
Yeah, my bar disappeared, Mr. Robert. Where did that go? Okay. I was waiting. I did win. I did stump them, so I get one. Last one. This only man for the job was sent to Egypt to procure the freedom of 4 million Hebrew slaves. Who was the first up?
Sherry,
who was that? Moses, let's take a look. Hey, Miss Sherry. Very good, and thank you, Mr. Robert. Thank you, Mr. Robert. All right. We continue our study tonight in the book of Revelation, and if you are joining us for the first time tonight, that's fine. Jump right in with us. We're finding out that in this book that was written by the Apostle John, John is getting, or God is really giving the Apostle John a behind-the-scenes look at all that is going on in heaven. Now, this is happening through a supernatural, spiritual vision that God is giving to John. And this is called an unveiling or apocalypse, or an unwrapping to show John what is here. John sees the heavens. He sees heaven's interaction with the events on earth. He saw what Jesus thought, what the churches were doing at that time. And God unveils the story, and this is what we have to lay our hands around here. God unveils the story of mankind from where John was in his day, which was looking at the seven churches, and God will unveil the story, this epic story of mankind, to its ultimate final destination. See, it's all going to end. This is kind of like one of those Twilight Zone things, just a world that was created. It's going to start and it's going to finish. And we're in it. This is part of that's the epic we're in. In chapter 4 that we studied last time I was here, we were taken on a fascinating journey into heaven, into God's throne room, which is really the epicenter of heaven, really the epicenter of the universe and all that is. Well, tonight, we will see that God has a plan for mankind. God has a plan for the earth as we know it, solar system, all of it. God has a plan for that. And this script, this plan, this script for Earth's story is actually written down. And it's written down on a scroll that has been sealed, seven seals. And this scroll is in God's hand as God sits on the throne in his throne room. Now, this scroll contains a vast array of events that will take place, and in fact, they must take place to rescue mankind back from its separation from God, and to take back the earth, to take it back from its fallen state. The events that are contained in the scroll are of epic proportion, and they carry with them unfathomable repercussions. And it is only here, only through this study of the scroll, that we see the incredible toll, and we see the shocking events that are necessary to fix what sin has done and to purchase the earth back and to bring mankind back to God. Now, each step in redeeming the world is recorded in this scroll, and each event in this scroll will be triggered and set into action by the opening of each of these seven seals on the scroll. But just like our game tonight, the one there's only one person, one man for this job, one woman for this job. Well, just like that, there's only one person. There's only one person who is capable of actually taking that scroll out of God's hand, breaking the seals, and beginning the process of rescuing the world and bringing it back to God. With that said, we will now read Revelation chapter 5. Why don't you stand with me as we read this chapter? It is 14 verses, and we can read it together on the side screens as Ms. Shanda brings it up. It says, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?' But no one in heaven, nor on earth, or under the earth, was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on earth.' Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of the thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, glory, and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea. And they sang, 'Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power belong to the one sitting on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four living beings said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb." Lord, I pray that you would help us to unpack this amazing chapter that you've handed us. I pray that we would understand the power of the Lamb, and that he is worthy, and that he was more than a carpenter, more than a Jewish teacher, but that he was God, and that he is the one who will usher in the rescue of all mankind and the earth. Amen. You may be seated. Now, gang, when we think about this scroll, the best way to understand what this scroll is this. And I think I have this on your outline. It is the title deed. It is really the ownership contract of earth and of mankind. It's that and more. This scroll certainly contains God's plan to fulfill or complete human history. It is the entire plan for reclaiming mankind for himself and reclaiming the fallen earth back to God's control and God's ownership. The next several chapters that we're going to be studying are going to be the unfurling of this plan and the initiation of God's redeeming blueprint for it all. But we can't, before we go there, we need to understand this vast and titanic strategy. To understand it, we need to know the backstory. We need to understand why this rescue had to take place and what happened that it needed rescue in the first place. We need to know how earth got lost, how mankind got separated from God, and how we came out from under God's parenthood, how we came out from under his ownership, that he needs to win us back. And that will help us understand what the Lamb is all about. You see, back when God started this story of mankind and earth, God created it perfectly. God created it awesome. There was nothing wrong. Everything was great in this mankind and earth. It was a true utopia. Man and woman, lived in perfect harmony with each other and in perfect harmony with God. Man understood clearly, and he saw everything for what it really was. This was achieved and made possible by man and woman, Adam and Eve, following the instruction of God and obeying God's word. So I want to read this in Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. It says this, then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us, and they will reign over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. It says, "Then God looked over all he made, and he saw it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day." Gang, this is how God designed it all to be. That's God's creation. He tells Adam and Eve, or shall we say, he tells mankind, "Husband, be with your wife. Enjoy each other. And enjoy what I've made for you. Be fruitful." He tells them to reproduce. He tells them this. This is awesome. He says, "This is my instruction for utopian life here. Have children. Enjoy the world that I have made for you. There's only one boundary, one thing that you need to be careful of, one thing you need to honor so that you'll stay safe." He says, "Do not eat of the tree that gives you the desire for determining right and wrong for yourselves." "Ah, that's tricky business, Adam and Eve. So leave that to me." But as we know, Adam and Eve decided they would eat that fruit. They would choose right and wrong for themselves. Mankind would now determine what was good, what was evil. Throughout time, people, societies, and nations would regulate what is best. They would regulate, vote, decide, and argue with each other over what was not best. Mankind was lost from God's ownership, God's leadership. And the earth itself, it fell under the spell of Satan. Instead of God ruling the earth, Satan took control. And he has duped mankind into thinking good things are bad and bad things are good. And he has done this for centuries. Instead of seeing things clearly, mankind is blinded to God's truth and is easily enticed into Satan's destructive attractions and Satan's practices. Now, Adam and Eve never knew how drastic the plan was going to be, or how horrible the cost would be to actually rescue mankind and the earth back to God. They had no clue. And really, we don't either. But all heaven knew. All heaven knew how different mankind's story would now be. God the Father knew, and he wrote the story on a scroll. He created these awful seals that would bring mankind back to himself, wrenching mankind away from Satan and wrenching mankind away from their own folly, all who wished to be rescued. I had a fireman friend ask me recently. He said, "Drew, I know you're a pastor, so I know you know lots of things." He says, "How should I fix my run-amok 22-year-old son?" I said, "Well, tell me about your run-amok 22-year-old son." "Well, he's ungrateful. He's lazy. I call him the mope." I said, "All right, well, so far I'm getting a picture." And he says, "He's mixed up in bad relationships. And he throws himself at every kind of bad practice there is out there. Oh, and he's disrespectful to me. He's disrespectful to his mother." He said, "Now, how do you fix that? How do you fix that, Drew?" I said, "Well, 22 years old." I said, "Ideally, you don't fix a 22-year-old. Ideally, instead of fixing a 22-year-old, you actually want to fix a 2-year-old. That's where you want the fix to begin." I said, "With where you're at, it's going to take nothing less, my friend, than a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It's going to take that kind of effort to rescue this thing." I told him, I says, "You know, I have moss, I guess mold, moss on the side of my house. Right by my garage, right where I come in, a big wide area, and all of the siding starting to fill with this green moss. And then you look above the house to the main section, that's real high, and that north side, there it is, green." And I told the guy this. I says, "You know," I said, "right now, that moss is just starting to get heavy. It's just starting to get heavy. I have maybe a month, maybe 2 months, take care of that." I says, "If I don't take care of it, it's going to get heavier. It's going to get tougher and more thick. If I get to it now, I could probably get rid of it with a power washer and some bleach and maybe a good half a day's work. But if I wait, if I ignore it, if I let it be, if I put the whole thing on autopilot and just hope it gets fixed on its own, well, then one day, I'm going to have to go buy some scrapers, and I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to spend hours and hours and days trying to get that stuff off, if I can even do it, and maybe even have to get so drastic as to pull the siding off and put new siding on. It'll get so bad. I told my friend, I says, you know what? The moss that's on your son has been growing for over 20 years. And I'll tell you right now, my friend, it can be fixed. It can be fixed. But it will take nothing less than a war. Nothing less than a war to get that moss off. Well, mankind's moss since the Garden of Eden, well, that's well over 6,000 years old now. That moss is stubborn, and it's infused everywhere. It's going to be an enormous and a very costly rescue. But just like my friend's son, it's possible. It is possible to do this rescue. And God has deemed that rescue, he's deemed that rescue plan worthy. And he's put Jesus in charge. But it's going to be a war. And gang, that is why here in chapter 5, the Apostle John is so upset. And why he weeps. He weeps because there's no one even capable. There's no one able or worthy to take that scroll. And there's certainly no one, if they could take, there's no one who can open it. And that means there's no one who can finish the story of mankind. We're just going to remain lost. John's tears are crying out that without the scroll being opened, earth and mankind are going to remain under the spell of Satan. Without the scroll being opened and earth and mankind being rescued, they're going to remain separated from God. Oh, man, they're going to remain confused. People are going to be disheartened. People are going to be angry all the time. People are going to be lost in hopelessness and despair. In verse 2, a strong angel appears in heaven, in that throne room, and he cries out, "Who in all the heavens and all the earth or in the underworld can open the scroll and usher in the completion of human history? Who can open the seals and save mankind? Who is able to complete God's plan?" And who is it, if anyone, who can wrench that title deed of the earth and all it contains away from the power and the influence and leadership of Satan and put us back under God's ownership, back under God's control, back into God's design, that utopian design? What we need to remember here is that this scroll and finishing the story of mankind contains the destruction of nations. It contains incredible loss of life to get this moss off. Loss of life in unimaginable numbers. It means hardship, and it means horror and suffering, the likes which have never been seen. In fact, God will not even allow this to begin. He will not let it to begin. He will not let any of these seals be unlocked until someone is found worthy who can take mankind through it all. Until there is someone that mankind can run to in all of these seals being opened. Someone who will shepherd mankind and lead and comfort them through it all. But who is worthy? Who's capable of doing that? Who is worthy to open the seals and bring mankind through to its rightful place back with God, under God's blessed sovereignty? Well, one of those 24 elders stands up and says, "Stop weeping, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and open all seven of its seals." John saw a lamb that looked like it had been slaughtered. This was not a good-looking lamb. This is a lamb that had been beaten to death. Instead of standing beautiful, It looks slaughtered, and it stands between the throne and the four powerful elder beings. It's bloody, it's abused, but that lamb steps forward and takes the scroll out of God's hand. The lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ. He is the only one capable and able and worthy to break those seals, to open the scroll, and to read God's plan into execution. These are three very powerful actions, and they require a proven hero, a one and only hero, who has the divine credentials to pull the sword from the stone and to bring about the completion of the epic story of mankind. First, Jesus must break the seals. This requires being able to establish God's rescue plan for mankind and earth, and to actually set the plan into action. You see, Jesus' sacrificial death initiated the plan so mankind can have a relationship with God again. Jesus' power of forgiveness of sins through his blood makes it possible for you and me to have our vision repaired. Our souls, that third part of us, can be born and see God for who he is and recognize things. We can now see God's right and God's wrong. We get it. We embrace it. You see it when you have the Spirit of God in you. You're not confused. We can now have the strength through the Spirit that Jesus has given us to say no, no to Satan's destructive attractions and Satan's destructive practices. We can now see very clearly what we couldn't see before, God's instructions. Instructions like, husbands, love your wives. That means want the best for them at your own expense. But wives, respect your husbands. That's what they're looking for. And it makes complete sense to those with the Spirit of God in them. We understand God's instructions, like where he says, if you want to find your life, give it away. And we get that. With the Spirit, we understand why God would say, cast your cares upon me, because I care for you. You see, the reclamation, the reclaiming of mankind and the earth really began at the cross. The earth's reclamation, mankind's reclamation, and your personal reclamation. So the first question for tonight is this. Has that process of being reclaimed to God's ownership, has that process begun for you? Have you realized, like John, who's standing in God's throne room, that there is an all-powerful God who wants to be your rescuer? He wants to be your father. He wants to be your king. Have you recognized that there is a savior and that you need him? That something's not right. I need to be saved. Or maybe you have seen the attractions of this world, and you've seen the practices that are being promoted by it, and you're seeing that they don't bring about life to the full. If you're seeing that, God is opening your eyes, and he's giving you your revelation. Just like John got his. The lamb that stepped up in the middle of the throne room and took the scroll, he really is offering you and me another opportunity to choose. We may have life with God in the garden. We can choose that now. We can live under the tutelage of the Father. God, you decide right and wrong. Tell me. Because I don't know. We can choose to let God decide what is profitable and what is not profitable in our life. What is best in our life and what is folly. What is righteous and what is sinful. Or we can choose like Adam and Eve did. We can choose to ingest that responsibility for ourselves. To place in our bellies the right to decide good and evil for ourselves. We will decide. We'll even vote. We'll create societies and vote what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. We have another opportunity to choose. The Lamb on the cross takes every person personally back to that fateful point in the garden. That fateful moment, standing at that tree. And this allows us to choose for ourselves. Will you choose to go back to God's leadership, to God's family, God's ownership? Or will you choose to tackle life on your own? I'll figure it out for myself. Jesus is worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, and to open the scroll to a new story, a new life that he has for you. It's a story that will include you as a character in God's epic reclamation of earth and mankind. It's a story where you will play a vital role in saving others and living as a beacon of hope that lights the way to rescue. And in your part, you will find purpose in your living. You will find fulfillment in your actions. You will find joy in the journey with others and excitement like crazy in this grand adventure. And in the end, God and all his people will win. We who choose to be with God will be the inhabitants of a new heaven and a new earth. And when Jesus reads that scroll, the question is, will your name be in it? Will your name be read by the Lamb who took the scroll, broke the seals, opened the scroll, and reads the epic story of mankind and the epic rescue of God's people and the earth itself from its fall all the way to its reclamation? You see, gang, each of us have moss on our lives. Green mold. God is giving you and me the opportunity to clean it up right now. No waiting. To find your life to the full, as he promises in John chapter 10, verse 10. Find your life to the full before your vinyl siding becomes so dreadful. And I'll leave it there. I'm going to ask the band to come back, our worship leaders to come back, and give you the opportunity to do some business with God. You may have known about God. I know him. Well, the demons know him too, by the way. They recognize him. They know him by name when they met him. It's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to know his story. It's not enough to even know about this reclamation plan. Jesus met with a very religious man in John chapter 3. He says, here's the thing you're missing. Your spirit needs to be born. Jesus calls it being born again, having a second birth. And you do that by admitting your sins to him, by embracing what Jesus did on the cross, that lamb that was slaughtered to wash away our sins with his blood, laying hold of that, giving him the title deed of your life, and saying, take the moss off. It's time. I want it out of my life. I won't let it get any thicker. It needs to go now. I don't want it to get worse. I want life to the full now. I want my name on that scroll. I want to be part of your epic story. Because what's coming in the chapters to come? War. God will save that run amok 22-year-old. He's not afraid of that war. He will do it. He's going to do it. We can be on the solution side of all that tonight. Think of these things as we talk to God one last time. Would you stand and worship? I pray that you'd help each one here tonight to get a better glimpse of this whole epic story that exists and to realize you have it all under control. You have one who is worthy to open the seals and to usher in the reclamation of mankind and the earth. Lord, if there is one here tonight who has not embraced you as their Savior, who has not surrendered themselves to you, I pray that they would do that now. Through the quietness of their own heart, just to say yes to you. I believe and I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. I admit my sins and I ask you to wash them away through the power of your blood. Lord, I pray that you fill that person with your Spirit and let them begin the process of following you aright. Thank you for tonight, Lord, and thank you for showing us heaven, giving us a better glimpse. Prepare us that we would be brave going forward to live our lives for you. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock. Thank you.